Welcome to another Carlin Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, we're getting on a bit with this social distancing, and I'm just wondering about how long it is before sports recommences.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I'm going back to work as a teacher, and so we were sort of planning to do online teaching, and we didn't think that kids would sort of be at school. And, of course, what we've been finding, this is a rapidly changing scenario, isn't it? And so we've now, obviously, kids are going to come back to school, and the government's saying, hey, schools are a safe place to be, and we can all sort of get together in that sense. And so, of course, the other thing that's happening, which is wonderful, in South Australia at least, we've had now a number of days in a row with zero cases. And we're down nearly to, I think, only 20 active cases of COVID-19. And so we've come a long way, haven't we, in terms of where we sit in South Australia?
Yeah, we have. But, you've got to be careful. I mean, I remember reading a few things on Facebook about the Spanish flu from 1918, where they kind of had the lockdown and social distancing back then. And then when they lifted a few of the conditions and people started going out again, it actually hit them again a lot harder.
Well, I think this is a dangerous time now, and for that very reason you stated, because the government, South Australian government, and of course the Australian government, have been saying, look, we need to keep all these restrictions in place, and we're seeing around the world now that there's a lot of unrest, especially if you look at the US, and I do because my son lives over there, so that worries me because they've now had 50,000 deaths, and their sort of people are up in arms and protesting, and they want to get back out and get on with their life, of course, which we all do. But as you said, like, we're in a great position here in South Australia, but our government's being very conservative, saying, no, we still need to be conservative. And, of course, this is going to create those issues for people because there are people are going, hey, we're in a great position, why can't I get back to work? And, of course, a big talking point has been, because it is such a big part of our culture, hey, we want to get sport up and running again. And so the NRL, for example, they've been really a little bit different than the AFL. They've been maybe a little bit cheeky. They've been very upfront saying they are starting on May the 28th. And they sort of had a bit of a hiccup a few weeks ago when they said they wanted to get back out there. And, of course, the New South Wales government said, hang on a minute, you haven't spoken to us about that at all. That's not possible. But they obviously did have a few meetings, and now they've come out publicly and said we're starting May 28th. And, of course, some of the AFL clubs now and coaches, Damien Harwood the other day was on TV saying, look, he applauds the NRL, and he was hoping the AFL could do something similar.
Well, they were talking about hubs, weren't they? Like six of the AFL teams will be based and play games in Adelaide, six in Melbourne, and possibly I've heard Brisbane mentioned, where those six teams play each other once or twice over a period of time, and then they sort of look at finals at the end of that. I'm not sure how that would work.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? And people have to be creative at the moment and think of ways of doing things differently. And you think, well, okay, this hub idea, it does get the game started. Is it safe? And I guess if you've got a group of people in a certain area and they can be tested and monitored and so on and can be controlled, so in a sense they are in some quarantine, but they're, of course, then you've got the issue that they are mixing because they're playing together in a very physical contact sport. But I know there was a push, obviously, for Adelaide, and you think Adelaide are in a great position because of where we sit with the number of cases and the way we've gone about it. But maybe, so you think New South Wales and Victoria have much bigger populations and, of course, have therefore more cases. But places like Northern Territory and WA, like us, have a very small number of cases, and then their cases have been declining on a daily basis. So maybe the AFL could look at places like South Australia, like Adelaide, where it seems a little bit safer at the moment.
I did see one suggestion which did disturb me a little bit, and when they were mooting that Adelaide could be a hub for the AFL, they were saying, oh, yeah, but we won't let the SNFL play because we want to use their grounds. And I'm thinking, Really? That's sort of kind of like a bit of a dictatorship, isn't it?
Well, it's probably a reality, isn't it? I mean, AFL, it's like any of the top tier, obviously being the AFL competition and like NRL, again, their top level competition, they're going to take precedence over others, aren't they? So they're going to take be the priority. And even though I know that you're such a strong supporter of SANFL, I would probably think most people would prefer to watch AFL than SANFL. I'll be a bit controversial and say that, but I think that would be the reality. More people would rather watch AFL teams than SANFL teams.
You know, to a certain degree, I understand that, but they're talking about having empty stadiums, like the players will play to just family and trainers, et cetera, and the media. And I'm thinking to myself, well, really they need to open it up a bit. And the way we are currently situated with just very few cases, we could have a few better situations where we might be able to have, 500 people come and watch an SNFL game, for argument's sake, because we're all sort of, fairly free of it all, whereas when you bring people in from interstate, you're still going to have the risk, so you're going to have to still, close it down a bit. You still have to have those consistency rules around Australia for the one competition.
Well, they're the problems, aren't they? I mean, our borders are shut still, and they probably will be for a while. I don't think that's going to relax in the short term. And so bringing people in from interstate means there's going to have to be a whole range of testing and so on. And so who knows whether it will happen. But there certainly is a push, isn't there, for things to reopen. And sport being one of those major things, I think there's been a lot of talk about getting sport up and running again because people, and maybe it's a bit selfish in some ways, isn't it, from us as spectators, sort of saying we want sport to start. Because we're not putting ourselves at risk. It's the players and coaches and administrative staff who would be involved who are putting themselves at risk. I see a story, Rory Sloane was saying that he didn't like the idea of the hubs because obviously it would mean that he would be away from his family for an extended period of time. And, they're talking maybe, 4 to 6 weeks, maybe longer, where they're not going to be in contact with their family. So there's a bit of a debate there for the players saying, hey, we don't mind the hub idea, but we would like our families present. Of course, then that extends the risk, doesn't it? Because now you're going to have young kids and wives, etc., who are now mixing and obviously part of that process, and that makes it even harder to control.
Look, just on the discussion we're having now in regards to your point of view and my point of view, that is going to be the big hurdle long term, is all the different points of view, because no matter what you do, some people are going to be unhappy.
Yeah, and of course a lot of this plays out in the media, which means a lot of it is, we're just putting out opinions at the moment, aren't we? So we don't know how things would work, and in some ways the people trying to administer these sports, they're trying to meet their economic demands, especially like broadcasting, which is a major one for them. So they're under a lot of pressure to try and meet, deadlines and contracts and so on, because, we're seeing the AFL has had to take out a pretty big loan to secure the sport. And if things broke down from a broadcasting point of view, that would probably be a big risk. And so this has been the whole debate, even in public, how do we keep the economic side going versus the health side? And we've sort of now been in this isolation, this process, and now we seem to be getting on top of it. And, of course, when people see that, we think of, okay, what's the next step? So I guess we'll find out. But NRL are saying they're going ahead unless something drastically changes. And the AFL now, of course, are under a bit of pressure to make their own announcement about what they're going to do. So people now are speculating, like we are, about what might happen.
It's going to be a strange world no matter what they do. I mean, today I was listening to some information in regards to the Adelaide Giants in the Australian Baseball League, and they're discussing the fact that there'll be no players from import players, so no American players or Asian players coming in to play in the competition, which is a very interesting situation for a couple of reasons. One being that, New Zealand is one of the teams in the competition, as is Korea, which is based in Geelong. I suppose, you know, the Korean team can come over and still play in Geelong like they have the last two seasons, but I'm just a little bit lost with it because I know of a couple of American people who players who are still here in Australia because they missed their deadline leaving to go overseas, and they're still here. Will they be allowed to play? And, you know, it's all a little bit confusing. If the borders are still closed and we can't get people in, how are they going to work it? And I'm talking about baseball not as just baseball. What about the soccer? What about the basketball? What about sports in general that rely on overseas players making their competition viable?
Yeah, you're right. I think, how long will international borders be shut? And as I mentioned earlier on, like USA have about 50,000 deaths and hundreds of thousands of people infected. So, you know, do we want people flying over from the US into Australia? And I can't imagine Australians flying into the US. It's a safer place to be here. So, I mean, sports will be affected by that. I mean, basketball, even at our district level, you know, most teams have two imports, and typically they're American. So there's a fair number of players that really improve the standard of the league. I guess on the flip side, it's going to provide more opportunity for local players, domestic players, to obviously play at a higher level, which, again, can only be a good thing for our younger players, our local players, to get maybe an opportunity that they might normally have had to wait for a couple of years because there's been imports who have been in front of them. So who knows, that might be a silver lining for our younger players and their opportunities.
Well, look, you know, when I was a kid, you know, going out and watching the Claxton Shield for the baseball, you know, back in the 70s and the early 80s, there was no such thing as imports. And then Mike Young, he came out and played for Queensland, and a couple went to Western Australia, a couple went to Victoria. And the funny thing is, when those import players started coming in and infiltrating the competition, South Australia, which was probably the strongest state, started losing their role and actually haven't won any national championship since 1980 as we speak. But, you know, at the end of the day, South Australia was actually used to punch above its weight before the Americans come. So it might be a good thing for us.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, both you and I have had to work with imports, working with like baseball and basketball, and sometimes you think, wow, this is actually difficult because it is taking away from local players and there's a big cost involved. And, of course, what that means is clubs or states with more money can attract better imports, and, of course, therefore they're more competitive. And I haven't been convinced from my own experiences that bringing in imports actually improves development of your local players and of the local competition. I think it comes down then to sort of a bit like a wars race where who's got the most money and who can bring in the best imports, and all of a sudden they've got success. And so who knows, maybe it will actually be, as I said just before, it would be a better thing for our local competitions to actually have our own homegrown talent playing against each other, and those younger guys and girls coming up will now have that opportunity.
Well, listen, Sean, we'll have to revisit this again in a few weeks' time, or even sooner. It depends how quickly everything changes. But I suppose for now,
in a few weeks' time, we'll know a bit more, won't we? We've got a lot of speculation at the moment, so maybe in a few weeks' time we'll actually see the beginnings of these bigger sports opening up again.
Well, we'll stay on top of it, but so ends another Carlo and Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.